Hi, welcome to Female Trouble. I'm Quinn Kelly, and this is a podcast spotlighting women in Baltimore. Regular listeners of 92Q, Baltimore's hip-hop and R&B radio station, know Angel Carpenter, better known as DJ Angel Baby, well. The on-air personality hosts Rap Attack on Sunday nights and keeps listeners live Monday through Friday on The Late Show. In addition to on-air hosting, Angel Baby is also a Baltimore club DJ and has released her free Get Pumped mixtapes for the past 4 years. Giving back to the community is fundamental to the East Baltimore native, who puts on a Get Pumped tour to uplift and motivate Baltimore City youth. She also founded Urban Artemis, a nonprofit geared toward educating and mentoring young people in the city, girls specifically. Angel and I talked about how she got her start in radio and about some of the people who have motivated and educated her along the way, including legendary Baltimore club DJ Kay Swift, who died in 2008. People are often quick to compare Angel and Swift, which Angel says is unwarranted, and we talked about how that's kind of a gendered comparison to make in the first place. We also talked about how Angel Baby makes a name for herself in a male-dominated industry and about keeping her focus on what's next. Here's my conversation with DJ Angel Baby. DJ Angel Baby, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me, Quinn. I'm happy to be here. This is like my third time in the building. I feel like I'm about to get office or something now. Like, yes.
Yeah, So you are a radio personality. This is pretty normal for you.
Kinda.
How did you get your start in radio?
You know what's so crazy? Because I went to Dunbar High School and I was in the nursing field and everything. But as soon as I was done the program, I went to Howard University. I was like, I want to get far away from medical, far away from hospital stuff as I can possibly get. And when I got to Howard, I got involved in the student station and just doing promotions for the student station and things like that. And I got the radio bug. Like, it was all downhill from there. I changed my major. I went I was a school of communications major, mass comm. Then I did music business as a minor. And so then it just went from there.
And why'd you want to drop the nursing thing?
I don't know. Something about having people's lives in my hand. Like, nah, dog, listen. My hands might shake. I don't know. It just probably wasn't my passion. I'm looking back now, like, I loved it. I loved working with people, but I can see that radio allows me to work with people still. Like, I think the nursing thing was just me being around people and helping people kind of thing, but all of the schooling and all of the math and all of the, you know, I was like, nah, this is not me, dog.
So where did you grow up originally?
I was raised right here in Baltimore City, East Side. All over the city, actually. I lived in Lafayette Projects, and I moved to Emerson and Poplar Grove. So I've been back and forth between East and West Baltimore most of my life.
Is there one that you, like, consider more of your home?
East Side all day. I rep East Side all day, man. I've lived all over East Side. I was born in Lafayette Projects, of course. And then when they got tore down, like, we was everywhere. So I think I went to Hamilton. I mean, what's my dad go to school? I can't even think of the school up in... What you call Hamilton? They changed the name to City Neighbors. So now like, oh my God, I can't remember our original school. But that's my middle school that I went to. Then I went to Dunbar. So I'm all East Side all day.
And what was your childhood like?
Typical Baltimore kid. You know, I had parents that was in and out of trouble on drugs and got themselves together. But, you know, it was kind of tough for me growing up with my siblings. Like, you know, we didn't have the silver spoon, you know what I'm saying? Growing up in the projects definitely, you know, wasn't the best. But when I was young, I didn't know we were poor. You know what I'm saying? I'm outside running around doing what I'm doing with my brothers and my friends. It's like, I don't know that we're struggling, but... So I can't really say that it was too bad. You know what I mean? Because I look at people in third world countries. I'm like, oh, that's their ghettos. That's their hoods. Like, I had it good. But, you know, growing up, it was kind of tough. It was just, you know, my mom, she had an addiction when I was younger. So it was like we moved from house to house and, you know, grinding to get this and have that. I didn't have the normal childhood that most kids will have. But I think it's pretty typical for a city kid growing up, you know, in the 90s and 2000s, like, that's, you know, was prevalent like that. Like, it was always like that.
Was music always a part of your life?
Definitely. I think that was the only thing that kept me sane. Like, I, to this day, I cannot deal with a person who say, I don't listen to music like that. I don't know who's hot or whatever. I'm like, what? You're crazy. Because that's all I had. Like, I always had a radio in my room, even when, you know, because we don't really listen to the radio in the house anymore. But I would, like, have my little radio in the house, like, listening all the time, taping stuff off the radio, you know, writing down the words to stuff. It's just like music was my thing. I thought that I would be like, I don't know, like in the entertainment industry in some kind of way. I always wanted to work with music, whether I be an artist or whether I'm a, you know, person that's helping the artist, A&R, something like that. I always wanted to be dealing with music. So it's just come full circle now. Like, I'm like, dang, I really did it. Like, I have my journals from when I was like 11 and 12, and I would be writing in there like, yeah, well, I'm about to go to the studio. I have no damn studio, but I'm talking this in my journals that I still have to this day. And I read it, and I'm like, dang, like, life is so amazing. Like, you know, when we're little, we say, oh, yeah, I'm going to be such and such, such and such. But it's so amazing to see it come into fruition. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we can dream all day. But when you grow up and you, like, are what you wrote about, that's an amazing feeling. Like, even though I didn't know that I was going to be a radio personality, but I knew that I would work with music some type of way. So.
And did you know people who worked in music when you were growing up?
Not at all. Like only thing I knew, the only thing that I knew was 92Q. Like, you know, I grew up listening to K-Swift and Porkchop Squirrel on the radio. You know what I'm saying? They were our idols. Like, K-Swift, like, I went to all her parties. You know what I'm saying? That club music whole thing, that was my era coming up. Like, she was life. So I always listened to 92Q. Like, we would have, like, after school, me and my friends would be sitting around like, oh, they about to come on. We got to listen. We got to call and get our songs. And, like, it was that for me. So that was my thing. Like, I was always listening to the radio. I'm always following what they're doing at the parties, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about K-Swift's influence on you. Can you describe that?
Man, that's like, she was, who can I equate her to now? Like, she was, you know how Scooter was the kids? Like, everybody loves Scooter. That's how K-Swift was to us, even though she wasn't a rapper, but she was like the star. Like, we going to her parties. If she say go here, I'm gonna be here, we all there. Like, we at the parties, you know what I'm saying? We listening to the club music tapes, the tapes that she's dropping, everything. Like, I think that, yeah, she was like our school to kind of, like, I'm trying to put her, you know, in the light of somebody that's here now, but I just can't because she was so big. Like, I don't know.
Well, a lot of people say that you are like the new her. I mean, how do you react to that?
I think that's kind of like, that's kind of like, man, I ain't done enough. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to take that charge. Like, I think it's because I love club music and because I'm a girl. People try to put me in that thing, in that K-Swift box. And that's cool because I feel like people always need to, it makes people comfortable to categorize you or put you somewhere to say you're like somebody. But I just know that she's the influence. And that's the case. She's a lot of these guys that's doing it is like her. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that just because I grew up listening to her and just she was so popping when I was young. It's like, I can't help it. She's kind of the reason why I do what I do. But I wouldn't necessarily say I'm her. You know what I mean? I'm the new her. Like, nah, nobody can fill those shoes. And people put those labels on me, but I don't really subscribe to that.
And that happens a lot more with female artists.
Yeah.
It's like just always making the, like, comparisons.
Mad DJs can be doing it, you know what I'm saying? Doing it because they've watched her. But now that I'm doing it and I'm a female, I'm like, oh, you're Lil Swift, Lil K-Swift. I'm like, nah, dog. She was the inspiration. She was the motivation, but, you know, I'm not her. I'm not her at all.
So let's go back to your time at Howard. How did you, like, initially get involved with the radio station and what made you want to do that?
It's a funny story because I didn't make it to be what I wanted to be at the radio station. Like, they had these auditions, right? And I'm like a freshman in there trying to think I'm so pop and, like, get on the mic, like, I'm gonna start talking and do what I do and be great. So they had the auditions. I get on the mic like, yeah, this is, my name was Angel. What was my name? It was corny. Angel the Insider. I don't know why. Like, I don't even know what. I wasn't an insider on nothing. I was dry. I was a freshman. I didn't know nothing. So I'm getting down there, like, I get the mic. I grab the mic, like, yeah. This is Angel the Insider. I'm about to be with you. Shaking. Voice was shaking. Like, so, and they recorded it because that was the audition process. They want you to do your show. And so I'm getting down there. I'm doing my little thing. I came up with all these corny things, and I thought I was rocking. They called people back and, you know, it's like, hey, these people made it. If you didn't hear your name, thank you for your time. Basically, I didn't hear my name and I went up to my dorm room and I cried. I was like, yo, I wanted to be in radio so bad. Like, I wanted to do it so bad, but I didn't know what I was doing. So after that, they had the audition and I didn't make it. I came back to the station, was like, hey, any help y'all need, you know, let me be down. I just want to be in the atmosphere. So I went back and I wound up doing production assistance. And I was doing like the Howard Homecoming stuff. I would get little sound bites from the celebrities and, you know, interview them backstage on the yard, things like that. So that matriculated into me being an on-air personality and then doing my internships and all that other stuff. I met everybody at Howard. Like, that was like my breeding ground for what I'm doing now.
Well, we have a blog on our website called Baltimore Insider, so maybe we can revive Angel Insider.
Yo, it was super corny. I don't ever want to use that name ever, ever, ever again in life.
So how'd you get your name? How'd you get Angel Baby?
You know, that kind of just fell on me. Like, that's not nothing that it was like organic. People like to use the word organic, but that's kind of how it was. Like, usually when guys... people talk to me, they always like, what's up, Angel Baby? I'm the youngest, you know what I'm saying? It just kind of fell on me like that. Like, I didn't come up with like, oh yeah, I'm about to be Angel Baby tomorrow. Like, yeah, DJ Angel Baby. Like, nah. It's like something that people always added to my name. I don't know why. They were like, Angel Baby, what's up, baby? And I just feel like, Angel Baby. Like, all right, cool. That's going to be me. That's going to be my name. You know, it's so crazy because I had a program director at the time and he was like, you can't just, I had dropped the insider thing. That was way, way corny. So my program director was like, you got to be Angel. You just can't be like, Angel, I'm on the air, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, well, why? That's my name. I don't want to really. He was like, you got to be Angel something. And I just was like, forget it. I'm going to just let it happen because I got in trouble, basically, because I still was just saying Angel. And there's people was just starting to say that. So it's just like, it stuck. But yeah, if I could, I would come up with something way more creative than that. Like, I would be like, I don't know, because nowadays people get popping off of the dumbest names. Like, I think, Angel Baby is not the most slickest, but it just happened.
It's classic. Yeah, it's organic.
It happened.
So besides K-Swift, was there anyone else at that time who was like a big influence on you or a mentor who you were looking up to kind of like follow a similar career?
You mean when I was in Baltimore or at school?
Both.
Because in Baltimore, like, listen, we were so lost as kids, like, I feel like the kids these days are way more lost than what we were. But back when I was younger, like, all I wanted to do was just, like, finish school, go to college. But so I didn't really have, I had a college-bound mentor, Miss Jennifer Wong. I will never forget her. She was, like, the lady that kind of saved my life at Dunbar. Even though I wasn't, like, out there, I wasn't, like, a super bad kid because, you know, I'm just chilling. But I definitely had some issues. And, like, she kind of, like, took me by my hand and was like, listen, this is your talent. You need to do X, Y, Z. So she kind of held my hand and got me interested in college and what colleges to go to out of state. Because I was content on just going to like Coppin or something, maybe, you know, but she really showed me a whole new world with as far as like outside of Baltimore. Like, she would take me little places. I would stay at her house and she would expose me to these amazing things like different schools and different career fields. So Miss Jennifer Wong from College Bound, like, that's my girl. I still keep in touch with her to this day. But she was kind of that guiding force, even though my mom at this time had got herself together. But my mom, you know, when they don't go to school and they don't have the finances or the know-how to even apply for things or further your career, all my mom was like, all she knew was go to school, get good grades. But she ain't know how. She didn't know how he was going to take that to the next level. So, but Miss Jennifer Wong, she really kind of like cultivated me into the woman that I am. Like, she gave me so much advice and just how to carry myself and just apply for these colleges, get how to write, how to make myself presentable in a job interview, just everything that you can think of that a young teen might need. My College Bound lady, my College Bound mentor, she went above and beyond that. Like, so she... like, I'm about to cry because, like, she was it for me. So I don't know. Like, and she helped me get scholarships and things like that. So without her, I probably wouldn't be here today.
How did you see your future at that time? Like, what would have your dream life or job been?
When I was a young, when
yeah,
I was
when
in
you're
high
younger,
school,
yeah.
I'm trying to tell you, like, I knew I knew that I was going to be in the entertainment some kind of way, but I didn't know how to get it happen, how to make it happen or whatever. I swore I thought I was going to have like a record label, be like the female Diddy, you know what I'm saying, or some kind of way. But I wrote it down in my journal. Like, I wish I had it today because I could show you and we could laugh about it. But I used to write about stuff like that. And that's the reason why I've chose Howard too, because I saw all these entertainers and these moguls that went to Howard University. I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta go there, because that's where it starts at. That's how you get it popping. But yeah, that was I kind of foresaw myself doing something in music and always just being around it, whether I was going to be a part of, like a A&R or radio personality. I didn't even, you know, that's crazy, because I didn't even think that I was going to do the radio personality thing, because I went to school, I did mass comm, but I did audio production, and I wanted to be behind the scenes too, in like the studio, like the female producers and stuff like that. I just wanted to be around music all the time. So I think that I kind of knew that was going in.
So how did you get to the point where you were making and releasing mixtapes in addition to doing the on-air personality thing?
So back at HBC, the student station at Howard, I told you I was doing a production and, like, you know, recording a tape. So I found out I was good at it. Like, I'm like, ooh, bam, I could be the girl out here just getting the drops and putting it together. So I learned how to use systems like Adobe and Cool Edit. Well, Cool Edit is Adobe, but, like, you know, Pro Tools and stuff like that. So I'm getting good at that stuff. Like, I'm fine with this, being behind the scenes. And I started doing my internship and production at WPGC 95.5. But then I just... Every time, like, people would get me to do things and read and talk for certain things, they'd be like, hey, Angel, baby, do this something. Be on this with me, or talk on me with this little part right here. And I used to be like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to talk. But then I started doing little talking things. Like, okay, so I was working with Flex and Rain with the home team on WPGC while I was at school. And it was like, I'm reading stuff and I'm being on air. So I'm slowly but surely getting this little bug in me to kind of, like, talk on the radio. So after I was doing WPGC, I started work. Well, at the same time, I was working at a station, well, a satellite company called WorldSpace, and they kind of like was XM, but to the world. And they were a part of XM at the time. And then I started being on air. I started, you know, talking more on the radio per se. And that kind of like transferred, that kind of transferred into the PGC stuff. So I started talking more, you know, doing little projects for the other personalities. And then I was like, oh, I want to do this now. So I started applying and putting together checks, air checks. And once I got a job at 92Q, I got there and I was like, oh, that's not enough. I want to really be a DJ. Like, I want to really have my hands. And I was learning it the whole time, but I never really took it serious. So when I got a 92Q, I was like, man, I want to start mixing too. I don't want to just play the music. I want to really be a part of it. I want my hands to be on it. I want to start making stuff. And that turned into working with Mighty Mark. It was like, hey, let's make this track. And then I'm like, oh, well, let's do a whole tape. Let me, you know what I'm saying? It just kind of, it kind of like fell into me. I never really like forced it. I just got to a point where I wasn't happy. I was like, I want to do more. And that's how everything kind of happened. Like, even with the DJ, and I was already a radio personality, and I already was like working on like music and club stuff. And I was like, well, you know what? I want to do my own stuff. Like, I want to, you know what I'm saying, put together my own mixes and my own tapes and things like that. So I just started learning. Like, it just happened.
Were you ever doing anything like that as a kid, when you would, like, tape stuff off the radio?
You know what? Now that I look back, taping stuff off the radio, that was, like, my prerequisite for being a DJ, probably. Like, I never thought that I would do, like, that's not in my journal nowhere, me being a DJ. Like, that, I never thought that that would happen. Like, but I guess it all felt worked together, because that's what I was doing when I was younger, you know what I'm saying, recording stuff and putting stuff together and writing down, you know, how I want this to go and how I want this to be played in my little set or whatever. But back then I was just doing it. Now I'm like, damn, that was probably, you know, the predecessor to this.
And so Baltimore Club was always like it for you?
Yeah,
that was,
man, listen,
the best.
Listen, that was everything. I wish that it was as big as it was when we were younger, because that was like our music. I get so much pride in like hearing club music when I go to other cities and other states. Man, the kids turned up and I'm like, dang, like, it ain't even that big as it at home anymore. But I think we're getting there. But it, man, it was all about, like, we would go to a party when we were younger and they would play hip hop the last 10, 30 minutes of the party. As soon as we heard that, we like, all right, it's time to go. Like, the whole party will be club music. Ain't no, we was like, what is this? K-Swift, don't. We ready to go anyway. The last 30 minutes will be hip-hop. So you could see how that has changed. Like, it was everything. Like, that was the whole movement. And I feel so prideful when I see other people dancing to club music that's in other states. Because I say, look how far it's come. You know what I mean? Because that's our music. Like, that's just... I can't wait to, like, that's why I'm always going to play club music. That's why I'm always going to push the envelope for new club producers and play it all the time. Because I'm never going to stop that. That's our music. Like... Even though, you know, people don't respect it as much, it's going to get there. It's going to come back. You know, history repeats itself. Like, club music was everything. So, and I think it still is. So, yeah.
Yeah, why do you think it's kind of, like, faded as of late? And how does it get on, you know, on other cities' radars?
Well, the whole faded thing, I think a lot of people kind of contribute that to K-Swift's passing. Because, you know, people need a leader. I guess a lot of people need to have that forefront person or that person that's pushing the envelope and continuously moving with the movement, you know. So once she passed away, a lot of people fell off, or a lot of people weren't as big as she was at the time. So not necessarily they fell off, but maybe they wasn't as popping anyways. She passed away. It's like, that's the big, that's like if Beyonce passed away right now, like, who's going to take her step? Who's going to fill her shoes? Who's big enough to be like, oh, let me continuously do what Beyonce did? You know what I mean? And I'm not comparing Swift to Beyonce, but I'm just saying, I'm just giving you an example of how people need that person to be the forefront of the movement. And I think that's what happened. And when she passed away, I was just still coming up. Like, a lot of people that's doing club music now was still coming up. Like, they wasn't, like, popping yet. So I just think that we need that person in the forefront. We need somebody. We need a lot of DJs and people to just have faith in our music. Like, if they play club music in the parties, they will force these kids to basically turn up to it because it's ours. Like, you know, you got cousins that make club music, like, play it. Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, whether it's like Swift or Scooter or whoever, it seems like Baltimore is like always on the precipice of having that one person who gets so big and then, yeah,
know what to say to that, Quinn, because, like, I don't know. I can't even speak on that. It's something that we're missing. It's something that I think, I don't know. What I will say is, though, people need to give people their roses while they're here. You know, especially you got people that's really doing it. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to just take myself out of it. You got artists that's still playing club. You got DJs that's still doing club music because God forbid, if one of them was to pass away, then would we be all over it? Then we're like, oh, man, my dude was doing this for so long. Listen to what he's done. I think that we need to do that now. Like, it's so many people that's doing great things, not just myself, but, like, many artists and DJs. You know them. Like, we know them all. Like, I think just we need to give people their roses while we're here and start trying to push our own sound. Like, that's what Baltimore missing. Like, we always jump on what's the hottest thing around the country or, you know, Southern rap or whatever the sound, but we have our own sound. Like, I just wish people would accept it and just use it because that's original to us. So, I don't know.
Do you always see yourself in Baltimore?
Do I only see myself in Baltimore?
Or always? Like, do you want to leave?
I'm always going to have a... Like, this is always going to be home, and I'm always going to have my hands in many of things that's going on here. But as a personality, as a person who's done TV and working other radio markets currently, I just can't only be here. Like, it's just never been my goal to be the biggest fish in a small pond type of thing. Like, a lot of people, that's cool for a lot of people, but it's not for me. Like, I travel now. Like, I work in other markets for Radio 1. I do DJing at other cities, and I'm doing TV things. So it's like, I got my hands all over the place. And I know that Baltimore is always home. I'm always going to play club music. I'm always going to come back here and do my Get Pump stuff. I'm always going to do my mixtapes, but I just can't always be here 24/7 because you don't grow like that. You can't grow.
Are the mixtapes going to keep coming every year?
Yeah, I keep telling Ian, like, he's sitting over there. I keep telling him, like, yo, this is going to be the last one. This is going to be the last one. But I got to keep doing it. As long as I feel it and as long as these producers out here is making good club music and I still like it, I'm going to release a mixtape every year just specifically for club music. Like, the Get Pump series, like, I don't see it stopping no time soon. Even though I talk mad stuff, like, yeah, I'm about to stop doing them. I don't got no club music. But, yeah.
Why do you want to stop doing them?
Because sometimes, like, I get so frustrated with a lot of the producers here. Like, I'm a DJ, and I just want to put the stuff that y'all making on my tape. Like, I just want to highlight that. I don't want nothing from it. I don't want to make no money from the mixtape. I'm not selling it. But a lot of producers, they kind of like keep them tracks to themselves. It's too exclusive and it's nowhere to get it. Like, I think that's the problem with Baltimore club music. Like, it needs a central place to really people to push and know where to get it from. Like, Jersey Club, you know where to pull that from. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of the producers here keep things to themselves, and I think that's so backwards. Like, if we trying to push the movement, let's push it. Like, if I want to play your songs, let me, you know what I'm saying, give them to me. Let me know what's up. But that sometimes frustrates me when I'm trying to make the tape, because it's like, I got to try to find this tape. I got to go find this. Who did this remix of this? Let me find it. I have to do my research. Like, it don't just come like, oh, they dropping here and dropping there and I'm grabbing them. We really got to have like relationships with people. Like, yo, you did a, can you do a mix for Rihanna? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the type of thing. It gets frustrating after a while.
So was there a time when you felt like things like started really clicking for you? Like, I'm, you know, meant to be DJing. I'm meant to be on the radio. Like, when did that all start coming together and your path started forming?
I guess when I started, like, when people started putting me on stuff, like, I'm like, oh, you want me? You want me to DJ and host? Oh, okay, cool. This might be this might be potential for me. Like, okay, let me continue to own this. Like, and even early in my career, when I got on BET and did 106 at Park, I'm like, damn, I'm like, y'all want me to come host up for your network? You found me? Like, so when those little things start happening, and many things after that, like, I mean, I had a chance to work with BET on several things. Like, and I'm like, I never chased that. Like, I'm only here doing my little thing in my own little corner of the world. You know what I'm saying? So when these things start coming to me, these opportunities, I'm like, I gotta continue to hone my skills. I gotta, like, because this is working for me. Never knew it would, but what's up? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's when I start feeling like, okay, that's when I started feeling like, okay, this is it for me. Like, I should continue on doing this.
And why didn't you initially picture yourself as a radio personality? You said you, like, were a little nervous in the beginning there. Why is that?
Well, early on as a kid, I just wanted to be in music. But when I got to Howard, I wanted to be a personality. But I was so bad. I was so bad and so shaky and hated the way my voice sounded. Like, I'm quite sure when I listen to this, I'm like, ew, why I'm talking like that? Like,
I know, I think everyone is.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. So, like, I think that was my thing. It kind of turned me off in the beginning. I was like, I don't want to do this. I just want to work the boards. I want to be in the background and do my little thing in the back. But I don't know. Like, I just hated my voice, probably. And then that initial rejection just messed me all up. I was like, yeah, no, I ain't doing this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the worst. I hate it too.
I don't like rejection. It's whack.
I saw in an interview you were doing, you said it when you're a female, you know, you have to work 10 times harder. You have to come 10 times.
Yeah.
You know, like, can you tell me more about that and what it's been like in your experience?
It's real. And if any female listening right now, man, after you work 10 times harder, after you prove yourself and after you do all that, like, first they love you, you know, then they question you, then they look at you as a threat. Like, it goes from love and then start questioning, like, oh, she's getting here. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Then you're a threat. Then it's like, oh, you doing too much. Oh, she ain't going to be as great as me. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I think that any female listening, like, being in a male dominated industry is the worst and the best thing ever, because you got the opportunity to shine. You got the opportunity to get looked at and just really, like, you know, you're like a star in a box of rocks. Like, you know what I'm saying? So that's kind of how it is. But then on the flip side, you got to work harder. You got to have that strong ethic. You got to have that tough skin, because Lord knows how many times somebody's going to look at you and be like, oh, she's just popping because she's a girl. Or, oh, she ain't really what they think she is because she's, you know, a girl. Like, it's always that mentality that women have to have in this industry. You gotta go hard because the men are going hard. And, like, I don't look at no female here as my competition, because I want what the boys got. You know what I'm saying? I think women should not attack each other, not compete with each other, but go after these dudes. You know what I'm saying? You want to do big things, like, find a guy that's doing the big things and you model his career. Any woman listening right now that want to be in whatever she wants to be in, like, I suggest you find the most poppin'est guy, if that's a word, the most successful dude in that industry, and model your career after him. Not saying it's not some great women out here that's doing some major things, but that's not my competition. Like, don't focus on each other. Focus on these guys. You know what I mean? Go after that. And that's how it is in radio. Like, anybody will tell you, I worked hard for the things that I got. I worked hard for the place that I am right now, and I still have so far to go, and it don't stop. It never stops. So I think in dealing with that whole she's a female thing, it's gonna always, man, if Hillary getting to office, then we might have it a little better. But I'm saying it's always gonna be there. So you just kinda gotta just do what you do and just go hard. Any female, just go hard, because they're expecting you to be soft, and they're expecting you to fail, and they're expecting you to like ask for help, which you may need sometimes. But I'm just pulling for Hillary so we can, you know what I mean, we can come up a little bit.
So did you feel like you were out to prove something when you got started, or do you still feel that way?
Initially, because that's a young mentality, like, oh, I got something to prove to you. Like, you said I can't do it, I'm going to do it just because you said I can't do it. But now I'm grown. Like, now I done this for a little bit longer. I'm trying to impress myself. I'm trying to wake up and be like, dang, what I did last year, oh, okay, this year is going to be way more better. Like, and of course I said more better, but so what? That's how I feel. It's going to be way more better because I'm trying to impress myself. I'm trying to overachieve and outshine everything that I've done in the past. And I talk to Ian all the time, he's sitting in the corner like taking video. I'm like, yo, how I look? Oh, next time we talk, I gotta be on it. Like, next time, you know what I'm saying? It's always, what can I do next and how can I get better? Because that's the only way that you'll continue to grow and continue to be the sh. You know what I'm saying?
Since you're a radio expert, you know not to throw the curse word in.
Yeah,
that's good. So were you always an overachiever?
I don't know. You probably gotta ask my mom or somebody that's close to me. Like, I don't know what people think. I don't know what people think about me, and I don't really, you know, but I feel like I'm never satisfied, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm never satisfied with just whatever. If I achieve something, I gotta, what next? Like, I'm not ever going to be complacent and content with, oh, yesterday I XYZ. Now today I'm going to chill because yesterday I did that. No, I'm always thinking to the next thing, like, what's going to happen next? Like, how am I going to overcome? How am I going to do better than that? That's always my thought process.
So now you mentor young girls with your nonprofit, yeah. Urban Artemis. I was hoping you could tell me about that.
Yeah, man. I wish Urban Artemis was around when I was younger. Like, I feel like, and we have so much more to go, because Urban Artemis is still new, still a baby. But like, with Urban Artemis, I try to show these young girls or these kids or whatever, because now we work with boys as well. I try to show them a world outside of what they know. You know, like, we had summer workshops, and we would try to bring people in of professions that they want to be involved in when they grow up, but they never met a person that does this thing, or they never met a person that, you know, writes books or is in the medical field. So we try to expose them to things that they haven't seen before, because a lot of these kids from Baltimore City, and I do Urban Artemis in other states too, other cities too, it's like they only know what they know. So I'm trying to be that to those kids, because I didn't have that. We didn't have people that were successful coming around trying to talk to us. They just would say, be good, don't do drugs. You know what I'm saying? It's more in depth with Urban Artemis. Like, we really are trying to be that big brother, big sister thing. And I'm working to cultivate that into that, because I want to do more with the kids. Because right now we have our workshops and we have our Get Pumped tours, but I'm like, we need to go further and just have these kids under our wing, because a lot of kids don't have that. So that's the main goal of Urban Artemis, is kind of like to show the kids a world outside of what they know, like get them into college, get them exposed to different career paths, get them talking and speaking differently than what you would do the other day. You know what I'm saying? That's all it is. Like, we just want them to be great.
How did you come up with the idea and get it started?
With my college friends, like, I have two of my best friends are on the board with me, Joy and Cynthia. Joy and I was thinking of, I know I wanted to work with kids because I wanted to be, like I spoke about, Miss Jennifer Wong from my College Bound, and I wanted to have that person. I wanted to be that for somebody. So I was like, how can we do this? And me and my friend Joy from Howard, we sat around and thought about, you know, the goal and the focus, and we know we wanted to work with girls, and we wanted to, because a lot of girls get left behind. Even with, like, programs for back to school, it's always, like, back to school cuts for the boys, and the girls is left out. So I always felt like the girls needed a little something. So we were thinking about, what can we do? And I said, well, let's make it like a big sister, big brother type of thing, but not so corny. No shade to the big brother, big sister, but a lot of those people, it's like a gap, you know what I mean? Like, they don't really feel like they can relate, because I experienced it in parts of my life. And so we thought about it, and we just came up with the name. And then from there, we just started saying, you know, we had a meeting at like Potbelly or something like that, and it just sat down and was like, hey, what are we going to do? We wrote out what we was going to do. We named it and we started doing it. And then I got my best friend Cynthia involved, and she's on the board as well. And then we just, because we knew what we needed. So we tried to be what people need, the kids need, we think they need, you know, we can never know. But
what does the name mean?
Urban Artemis. So Artemis is the God, she was like the goddess, like the one that would go into the, teach the nymphs how to hunt, teach women to do things that the men would do. You know what I'm saying? So like she would go in and teach women how to hunt, how to fend for themselves, how to take care of themselves in the woods or this mythical whatever. So like Artemis, I felt like we need to show these young girls originally, like, hey, you can be self-sufficient. You don't need X, Y, Z. You don't need this person to do anything for you. We're going to teach you how to be, you know, great. In urban, just because we in a city, and we was like, you know, Urban Artemis, okay, let's do it. But the initial thought process is basically showing young girls how to, you know, be strong and be amazing and learn things that you wouldn't normally do, like you may depend on a guy for. Like, that's what we were kind of thinking, and Urban Artemis just kind of happened.
What's next for you, and what haven't you done yet that you'd like to do?
I don't know. It's so much. Like, it's so much. I haven't done I really want to do more things involved with TV. Like, I've been working on some things, and I have some things that I've auditioned for. But, like, I definitely want to expand into television. I want to continue to grow my Urban Artemis nonprofit. I'm working on this thing I got that Ian and I, we're working on this thing for Get Pump. Like, we want to take it into the whole next level. So instead of doing the tours that we used to do, we're trying to put it on a bigger platform. And I don't really want to say, because somebody might be listening, they might try to steal my idea, but we got some big things planned for the Get Pump movement. So in the club movement. So I definitely want to continue to push the envelope for our club music and continue to be that ambassador for it, and we kind of trying to roll it all into the Get Pump thing. Like, so yeah, it's gonna be some great things coming out.
What excites you right now about Baltimore and the club scene?
Just the amount of young DJs and young producers that's making club music. And also, again, like when I go and DJ other places and I see that people play club music in their parties, I play it in their parties and people dance, I'm like, oh man, like it's on the cusp again to be great. Like, so that's the thing that excites me. Like, I love seeing young producers and young DJs playing it and not afraid to play it and get these kids dancing, because they gonna dance to what you playing. Like, a lot of older DJs here, they don't play it, they think it's, you know, whatever. But the young ones, when they play it, I'm so proud, because I'm like, yeah, you know what I'm saying, you are the next, you know, whatever. Like, you're the next, like, especially, like, a dude, Juwan. Like, I always talk to him about his tracks or whatever. We're supposed to be making some stuff, too. But, like, I'm just so happy that young dudes are on it. Like, that's all. Like, just continuously playing it and making music. It's like, yeah.
Well, DJ Angel Baby, I was hoping you could send us out with your signature.
Oh, she got DJ Angel Baby out. Ow, I'm up in here, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for coming in. PT. She a dope girl, dope girl, dope girl. Thanks for listening to Female Trouble. We're back every Tuesday with new episodes. If you've missed any past ones, you can find us at baltimoresun.com/femaletrouble or soundcloud.com/femaletrouble. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all the other major podcast apps. And if you liked what you heard, it would help us out to give us a rating on iTunes. We're also on Twitter at FMLTrouble. Our theme song is Dope Girls by Shifty, featuring TT the Artist, who is featured on the first episode of the podcast. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.